Well, everybody, we have on the call here Rick Pino, and I'm making a more official opening here. You know, Rick was a part of the call. He's been in Southeast Detroit a number of times, and he has a real heart for prayer, praise, and worship, and we got some plans here for the future. And so we're going to record this call, get it on to other worship leaders. I'd appreciate it. And Rick, I guess we're just going to start out because most everybody, if not everybody on this call, knows who you are. And so, but share with us, Rick, what you feel. Probably first of all, what do you feel about the Detroit area? I think that's one thing I think we need to maybe establish here. What's your heart feeling? You've been here a few times. You've been to the call. What's your feeling about the Detroit area?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just wanted to thank you, Rick, for putting this together today. Thank everybody who jumped on the call here. I know it can be crazy jumping on in the middle of the day, but thank you guys so much. You know, my heart has been so stirred for Detroit. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, the first time we went in for actual ministry, and it seems like every time we've been back since, that those heavens are ripping open. I believe that it's getting to the point now to where I believe the heavens are going to rip so wide open over the city that they're never going to be able to be closed again. I feel like God's eyes are on Detroit. Obviously, the call was, you know, just an incredible kiss from the Lord that helped to unify the city, helped to break down racial walls and barriers, denominational things. And I think, you know, the root of the word moment is of momentum is simply moment. And if we can continue to seize the right moments, then traction begins to build and momentum begins to build in the spirit. And, you know, I'm a son of Lou. You know, I've been running with Lou for a few years, and I know his heart as well is that the call is never for the end of anything. It's merely for the beginning. It's a catalyst. It's a spark. It's a flashpoint that ignites the heart of a nation, a city, a region, or whatever. So as a son of the call, as a man who loves the city of Detroit, God's put it in my heart to continue to seize the right moments so we could continue to gain traction in the spirit there. So I'm excited about what God's doing there in the city.
Well, you know, Rick, I wanted you to give, before we get right down to the 50 hours in the fall that we're looking forward to doing and also what we have planned for May here, I want you to give everybody your perspective. What is the dynamic, the connection between prayer, praise, worship, and declaration? Because to me, you're a spontaneous flower. You just go. I've been in a number of your meetings. Give me your heart on that. You know, then we're going to get down to specifics of what the plans are for here, our region, and see who wants to be on board. But what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, you know, I love how God has, over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years, the Spirit of God has been highlighting Revelation 5:8. Everybody's into it right now. The harp and the bowl, you know what I'm saying? It's worship and prayer, they go hand in hand. It's worship on one hand, the harp. It's the bowls on the other hand, it's the prayer. So you can't have one without the other. In essence, they're the same thing. One is just sang and one is spoken. But, you know, I like I said, I love the Revelation 5:8 harp and bowl, but so many times people forget the next part. If you look at it next, it says, you know, the harp and the bowls. Right after that, it says, and they sang a new song. What the spirit of prophecy does, you know, that Davidic worship, it literally breaks open, you know, the hardest places. The Bible says that Jesus dashes the nations to pieces with an iron scepter. Now, Psalm 22:3 says that the Lord abides in the praises of his people, or he's enthroned in the praises of his people. What this means is, and that word there for praises there is actually tehillah. It's the spontaneous eruption of the heart. So, you know, Ray Hughes says it beautifully. He says God loves all the different expressions, you know, the 7 Hebrew words for praise. God loves all of them, but he's only enthroned in one, and it's that spontaneous eruption that literally is birthed from that prophetic spirit that ignites hearts. It's the difference between a nice song or even a catchy song that everyone's like, yeah, that's a great song, and a song or a spontaneous moment, a prayer that has that prophetic spirit on it that literally gets shot into the heart like an arrow, carrying the just that flaming weight of conviction that literally can cause bones to rattle on the inside of a heart. That's the difference. So my heart for praise and prayer and worship and all that stuff is it's incredible, and we need to continue to step out. I love song lists. You know, God has a place for those, and in Sunday mornings especially, as the worship leaders on the call today, you guys understand sometimes they're appropriate. But the Davidic spirit is literally that spontaneous eruption that flows from that prophetic spirit, the overflow of the heart, the word of God deep on the inside of a person's heart. So I want to present it this way, that when we really capture the harp and bowl model, it literally is this, is that there is a blank canvas for whatever the Spirit of God wills as we sing it, as we declare it, as we prophesy it. And it's the difference of being just a nice worship leader, leading a nice set on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, or literally a Davidic messenger, a prophetic psalmist that when they sing, when you release, when you declare, when you prophesy, that not only is it a nice worship time, but real things move, real things happen in the spirit. That's what the Key of David does. It shifts things governmentally in the spirit. And so that's what my heart is to come in and ignite that thing on the inside of the worship leaders, of the psalmists, of the intercessors. We need to move from the place of just being nice worship leaders to having governmental authority in the heavens. When we say sickness is being healed, that key turns and things really begin to unlock in the spirit. And so that's my heart for it. We have a blank canvas as prophetic psalmists to begin to literally just declare and release the heart of God with that prophetic spirit and that Davidic unction through the music.
Well, you know, I'm everybody on the call here, the worship leaders here, we're recording it so you can hear what you missed and get it on to another worship leader. But we have some plans. I submitted the sustainment plan to Lou Engel for after the call, and he okayed it. He endorsed it, and Rick Pino was part of the sustainment plan. So these are the steps we're going to be taking, and hopefully you can work together, because I can't do this. I would say the majority, if not all of you on this call, are much younger than me, but we got to connect these generations. And so on May 4th and 5th, we're going to be bringing in Rick and Ray Hughes. And we're probably going to entitle it at right now, Spontaneous Combustion, Changing the Atmosphere. And so, this is good. And then what we're going to do then have a private meeting with more of the worship leaders during this weekend time, and we'll be determining the exact site by tomorrow. But now, Rick, I wanted you to cover with these people, you've been doing twice a year, I believe, 50 hours of praise and worship around the country, and this is what you want to bring to the Detroit area this coming fall. And I believe those dates are the first week in October. We have to talk about that. But could you explain to everybody? Then we're going to open it up after you give an explanation to folks for questions that people might have who are on the line here. But what is this 50 hours of prayer and praise that you've been doing in worship across the country?
Absolutely. Actually, last year, it averages to about four times a year. So once a quarter, we light up these things. We call them fire on the altar. They're a 50-hour worship, love, prayer bomb that just goes off in a city, in a region. Now, it is kind of in the heart of the call. Like I said, I'm a call baby, you know. So it's kind of in that heart, except for, to where the call is more focused on the prayer, on the bowls. That's when focus is more on the harps, you know, on the worship.
That's right.
And so the heart of it is we go in and, you know, I love conferences like Rick just mentioned. We're coming in May for, a conference and to an equipping time. And I love all that. And there's a time and place for that. But what these 50-hour gatherings are is simply this, a 50-hour kiss to Jesus. I love, you know, how I was recently talking to a brother and he says, "You know, Rick, I can't wait to get all that God has for me in worship tonight." And I had to just be honest with him. I said, "You know what, man? That's a noble desire to have, but worship is not about us getting all that God has for us. It's about Him getting all that we have for Him." And so the heart of these things is to go in there and to crack a region open. What would happen as, you know, as psalmists, as musicians, as intercessors, as we come together and begin to blow a hole open in heaven so wide that it can't be shut? You know, we've been marching with these fire in the altars. It's in the heart of Amos 9-11. Actually, we were in Detroit this past year on 9-11. We began to declare Amos 9-11, you know, that God is rebuilding the tabernacle of David. If you look at Amos chapter 9, verse 1 through 10, the nation is in crisis. The people of God have literally grown so dull that they can't even discern that the judgments of God are about to be released against them if something doesn't change. Then all of a sudden, God breaks in with a 911 emergency answer to the crisis, to the apathy. God breaks in and he says, in that day, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. So right now, that sounds a lot like the moment we're in to me. You know, we're in this moment where apathy, complacency is settled in. And, you know, who knows, the judgments of God may be, you know, on our doorstep if something doesn't change. But God says, in that day, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. So we're saying, as the presence of God, as the canopy of his presence rises over the earth, where is the tent peg of Detroit? Where are the tent pegs that are going to say, God, as your presence is rising over the earth, we want to be ones who put that tent peg up in your house and say, God, find a place here. Find a Psalm 132 resting place here in the heart of this city. So we want to come in and we want to put up a tent peg. You know, we want to continue to build on the momentum of the call. We want to continue to build on the spirit of unity, the oil of unity, Psalm 133. You know, God has been absolutely gracious to us with these other gatherings. We lit up the 50 hours in Houston, Texas, and there was a believing judge who heard about what we were doing. And so he had these 20 drug addicts that he needed to go sentence into rehab. Well, like I said, he's a believer, so he heard about this wild, radical, you know, John the Baptist, whatever, fiery 50-hour crazy thing. And he says, you know what, that sounds like a good place to get rehabbed. So, bam, you know, he slams his gavel, and he sentences these 20 drug addicts to come get rehabbed in the presence. So, you know, we light up the fire on the altar, the 50 hours, and it's ignited, and there it is. You know, the first hour or two, they wander in, and they're sitting in the back, as you can imagine. You know, they're not happy to be there, arms crossed. Well, man, let me tell you what. 5 hours, 10, 20 hours, 35 hours into the presence of God. No one's preaching to him, by the way. No one's laying hands on him. It's just the goodness of the presence of God. Dude, these men begin to have their hearts ignited on the inside of them. By about 40 hours in on Sunday morning, few of them were in the front dancing, leaping, rejoicing. 45, 50 hours in, these men, by the testimony of their own mouths, were delivered, set free, and many of them are plugged into the local churches there now. I had one of these men come up to me afterward, tears in his eyes, and he said, Rick, I didn't know that you could change this much this quick. And all of it was done when we raised the canopy of his presence over a region. What would happen if we were to raise a canopy, to put up a tent peg in Detroit, and just as a sustaining thing to crack it open for 50 more hours on the heels of the 24 and just say, God, we want your presence here. Lift your canopy up here over this city. I'm telling you, there's no telling what could happen. It's even like the revivalists of old. You know, Finney would come into a region and up to, you know, a few hundred miles, you know, the canopy of his presence would just absolutely obliterate any kind of wicked desires of the people at the bars. And you guys know the stories. I mean, what would happen if the psalmists came together, we built a firewall around the city and say, God, your canopy.
No, Rick. What you are a teacher, I can just tell this. What is this going to look like? How many worship teams do you need to do this 50 hours? I mean, can you give us a look for the people so they can visualize what is this 50 hours? We start at such and such a time. We end such and such a time. We're one facility, obviously, which we need to find somewhere in the Detroit area. So could you go over how this dynamic looks like to you?
Yeah, logistically, God has been very gracious. It has helped us. usually about 15 to 20 worship teams can carry 50 hours. You know, that's with everyone leading, you know, once or twice. We do two-hour blocks, and the worship never stops. It's kind of, for those who are familiar with the IHOP model, you know, we switch out one person at a time. And basically what that does is it enables the music to never stop. And so for 50 hours, we light it up Friday night at 7 o'clock, and it goes through Friday, all through the night, Saturday morning, Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and it goes through Sunday and Sunday night. I'm telling you what, think about the most incredible worship meeting that you've ever been to, maybe 4 or 5 hours. Add 45 more hours on top of that. I mean, there is so much thick, weighty glory in there by Sunday night. I mean, we could be singing Kumbaya, and the Holy Ghost is just rumbling that place. So, you know, usually we'll light it up Friday night at 7 o'clock, go through the weekend, and we have an absolute blowout Sunday night, to where a lot of times we'll get most of the teams together on Sunday night and just blow out.
So, you know, we need to find a location, obviously, and you're looking for a particular size of a seat, so many, and the people on this call, they'll be more helpful in the Detroit area here in trying to locate this. But, you know, you're talking about what size of location, because you're talking out for that church to blow out their Sunday morning service and just continue on in this 50 hours. Am I reading that right?
Absolutely. You know, the Sunday morning logistic has always flowed very, very smoothly. What we basically do is we're not trying to come in, and obviously Sunday mornings for pastors, that's incredibly important logistically, financially, you know, in all areas. But what we usually do on the Sunday morning dynamic is, you know, no matter how many months you're mobilizing, getting the word out, there's still going to be that Sunday morning crowd, some of them walking in going, what in the world is this? You know, so pastor usually get up, you know, about the time worship would normally end, pastor will usually get up and say, hey, you know, welcome to Fire in the Altar. This is different today, obviously. If you need to give your tithe and offering, you know, you can do that now. You know, this is for the Sunday morning tithe and offering. If you need announcements,
okay,
on the website. But, you know, today, this weekend has been about God. And about that time in on Sunday morning, we're about 40 hours in, and it is thick in there, man. It is absolutely thick in there. So that's usually how the Sunday morning, you know, rolls out. It's usually we're holding our seventh Fire on the Altar this coming March in Austin, Texas, and all of them, it has not been a problem at all on the Sunday mornings, you know.
Well, let's open up to a few questions from people on the call here, and I guess it's the first one who speaks up, ask your question, and I have all the lines unmuted, and as you can tell, we're getting some background rings and everything here, but that's okay. Does anybody have any question? Please come forward with it.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is J.B. Moyer. I'm calling on behalf of Epicenter of Worship in Lansing, Pastor Sean Holland.
Yeah, you guys were involved at the call and one of the worship teams. Praise God, thank you.
Yes, we were. It was an honor and a privilege to be there. We had a wonderful time. I just wanted to ask you a couple of quick questions. The date, is this going to be a multiple event, or are we searching for this one date of May the 5th or the 4th through the 5th?
Sorry, just to clarify, the date in May is actually going to be a worship conference that we come in and we train up the psalmist. We speak on this Davidic anointing, go in depth with it. We speak on that prophetic spirit, like Rick was saying, you know, the spontaneous combustion. So the May date will actually be a conference, and then what we're looking forward towards in October will be the actual Fire on the Altar.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I logged in. My phone was messed up, and I had to grab another phone to log in.
Yeah, the 50 hours is going to be in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be in the fall there. So, but anyway, hey, if you have background noise or talking, if you can mute your own phone or get yourself off speaker, that'd be great. But any other, let's continue to ask Rick questions. We got quite a few people on this call.
And so anybody else have a question for Rick on the 50 hours we're going to be doing in October, the dynamic, the logistics? He said we need 15, I believe, to 20 worship teams to rotate. Other questions? Any other questions?
What size facility that are you looking for?
Well, the least amount of people that have come to these things have been just about 1,000 people. You know, I'll come in and mobilize. Obviously, May is going to be a time for, you know, getting the word out about the 50 hours. And then with the 15 to 20 different worship teams coming, my heart is to, you know, we're not bringing in a lot of big names, quote unquote, because we don't want this thing to be too top heavy, because I want to put a responsibility on the region to where after we're gone, after the 50 hours ends, that the region carries it and really takes ownership of saying, you know what, we really do want to put up a tent peg here. So we need a facility that holds at least 1,000 people, if not more. And we lit up the 50 hours in D.C., and 3,000 people came out to it. So I'm looking for a facility that holds anywhere from 1 to 3,000, if not more.
Okay.
Also, here's another thing I didn't mention. You know, as this unfolds, we're not going to be putting a lot of pressure on people for money or financial thing. God has given us faith and has given us favor to be able to carry these things financially. We're just looking for a place that will turn on the lights and turn on the sound system for 50 hours. And our ministry takes care of the logistics, you know, the financial arrangements, you know, all that other stuff.
And I want to enter in here, everybody, too, that we can't allow the load to be on Rick Pino and his team, the financial part, because, you know, hey, it's ideal to get a site to say, hey, we want to donate the site. I know when we've worked at Rochester Assembly, they've been always so gracious to us in the past. It doesn't seat 1,000, obviously, and where they've always given us the site at no charge. It's incredible. And but again, we're looking for a place in the Detroit area. Detroit, I mean, you know, I mean, and we feel that if we can galvanize the youth groups, young adult groups, mobilize, get the teams involved, 15 to 20 teams, that's awesome. And then glean and let's draw the finances, and so Rick doesn't come in and carrying this burden. I'm just speaking in his behalf now because I don't know exactly what the cost of this is. You know, I never did this, but I'm looking to you, all of you, to take the lead on this. I'm kind of just like facilitator here, trying to charge up people. Let's sustain the call. What happened? Let's continue to open up the heavens. And so that's where I'm at in all this. But you, all of you young people, you're going to be the council. You're going to be the council of elders in this thing. You're going to lead this thing. I'm just going to come along and say, come on, let's do it. Other questions? Comments or other questions? Go right ahead. Just speak up. Well, everybody's on this call. I know that, you know, because I see nobody got off. Somebody's
well,
got to.
Thank you for being willing to come back to the city and for putting this all together. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Our joy, man. Thanks to Rick here, you know, who's the kind of the catalyst of it all, you know. Thank you.
We need to bring the black. The blacks, the whites, Hispanics, Asians in on this, everybody. The university campuses. We need to tap into this right now, and we know that prayer, praise, and worship is the key element that will bring people together to crack open this atmosphere. And, you know, we need that new sound. Remember at the call, Chuck Pierce has said it. I mean, Kim Clement, there's a new sound coming out of Detroit, a new song. I believe this is part of it. We need those black teams to bring that sound in, the white teams. I mean, we need the multicultural teams. I mean, this is the type of thing that's on our doorstep if we would just really put effort into this. And so we need to hear from you. If we're on board or not on board, we'll be announcing the thing in May coming up very soon and getting the word out. And we're going to have a sit-down meeting with Rick, with the worship leaders, to plan this out. either a yay or a nay, but I think we have no choice, everybody. The times are pointing to let's really open up the atmosphere. Any other questions, comments, exhortations, encouragements for Rick?
Let me just say this too, Rick, on the heels of what you're saying there. God has been also stirring our hearts about the song of the barren woman. You know, there is literally a cry. There's a sound. There's a song that can literally open up the womb of a city. It can open up the womb of a generation. It's when the barren ones sing, when they extend their tent pegs, when they extend their borders and let that cry go forth, it literally can open up the barrenness. You know, for years, so many have spoken, you know, dead words over the city of Detroit. What would happen if a bunch of psalmists came together, Jehoshaphat's army of psalmists came together and begin to cry out and crack that thing open? I believe the barrenness could literally be broken off. The desolation could literally be broken off with a sound, with a song. It could literally, you know, awaken the dawn with a song. All of winter's night is coming to an end, and the light of a new day is breaking forth on the horizon. Where are the songbirds that will awaken that sunrise? Come on.
Yeah. Now, Ashley, I know you're on the call. I'm going to use you as a pivotal individual here, for people to direct some questions to you that we can, you know, work out a system here to get them to Rick, and as we move on in this process. So, Ashley, would you like to give out, because there's some people from outside the Detroit area on this call, would you like to give out your contact information?
Yes, I can do that.
Okay, go ahead.
As far as my phone number goes, my cell phone number is 734-476-3384. Again, that's 734-476-3384. You can also find me on Facebook, Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, and my last name is Beazle, B as in boy, E, Z as in zebra, A as in alpha, L. So Ashley Beazle. And so you can find me on Facebook. My email is my first name, Ashley, dot my last name, pretty simple, at gmail.com. And so, yeah, you can direct anything towards me.
Yeah, that's good. And so, again, Rick, you know, we're trying to say, okay, so we have 50 hours of worship, so teams are going 2 hours at a time, and it's like a nonstop flow. I mean, is that how it happens, Rick?
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. Like I mentioned earlier, the thing that can really kill the flow is the
Hang on, Rick. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I don't know what that was, but go ahead.
That's okay. Sometimes the thing that can really kill the flow is the starting and stopping, you know, like, cause, and that what that does, that encourages, you know, a performance mindset and stuff. What we want to do, like I mentioned earlier, for those who are familiar with the IHOP model, switching out one player at a time, you know, that way the sound never stops and it never goes from, you know, our team, stop, your team, go, stop, this team, go, stop. So, and we'll also have a meeting the Thursday before the fire on the altar just to go through the logisticals that, you know, at least one person from every team. We'll have them come in and just run through everything so we can get it as smooth as possible. You know, I just had this idea, too. For those who are wondering, like I mentioned, we have a fire on the altar coming up in Austin, Texas, this March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. If you go to our Facebook page, it's just Facebook/Rick Pino Music. If you stay connected there, you'll be able to stream all 50 hours online. So you can get
wow.
a cool idea of what we're doing. You know, here's a testimony, too. We lit up the 50 hours in Tallahassee, Florida this past year, and there was a family that was streaming in from Texas, and they kept on all 50 hours in their house. Just, you know, well, I'm telling you, when you put the tent peg up in the canopy of David's tabernacle, there's no telling where that canopy will stretch out to nowadays with the technology that's available to us. So they stream in the 50 hours on the internet. From the testimony from their own mouth, their kids start getting absolutely touched by God. Their kids are just in the living room, just getting met by God. This man and his wife are getting met by God. About 40 hours in, the wife looks at her husband, and she says, and, you know, they're not necessarily pressing in and worshiping the whole time. They have it streaming while they're doing the dishes, eating dinner. You know, it's just the presence of God is filling their house. About 40 hours in, Sunday afternoon, the wife looks at her husband. She had had a disease called celiac, which basically is a gluten disease with no breads, no sugars, you know, none of the fun foods, you know, like she rabbit food for her, whatever, you know. And so she has this disease, and she looks over at her husband, and she goes, "Honey, I feel like the Spirit of God is healing me." Again, no one's laying hands on her. It's just the goodness of the presence of God. 10 hours later, 50 hours in, you know, the presence of God is meeting them in their house, and she looks at her husband. She goes, "Honey, I feel like I'm healed." And so we said, "Okay, let's check it out." The next day they went and got it checked out at the doctor. Sure enough, medically documented, she was completely healed of celiac. Long story short, a week later, the testimony was so incredible. They were in the Dallas area. That's where my wife and I live. So my wife and I decided, man, we have to meet these people. We met them, and my wife and her split a piece of cake after lunch the Tuesday following. Completely healed, set free, delivered from this disease, all from the canopy of the presence of God being raised. Come on.
And, well, what's the date in October, Rick, that you're thinking of? People probably want to know, like, what is the window? I thought you said it was the first weekend in October that we were targeting at the time. Is that correct?
Yeah. It would,
okay. Somebody must be waiting for a train to go by here. Hang on. Okay, can you say that again? Was that the weekend we were targeting?
Yeah, it would be the – I'm pulling it up on my phone right now. It would be the first weekend of October.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up here. If anyone knows those dates off the top of their head, they can just, you know.
I think it's the 4th or 5th, something like that. And, well, I want to close down this call, Rick, and because I try not to keep them too long. I'm trying to keep them to a half hour. And we did get it recorded. Any other comments or questions?
It's October 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask whether you were going to want like prayer. Are there room for prayer leaders or like what? Like is, so, it's just like completely worship, or are there, you know, prayer sets where like within that worship, like are there leaders leading out or like congregating everybody to focus in, or is it just purely fire on the altar worship?
This is people are obviously free to pray, but it's more of meditative prayer on a personal level. This is the main agenda for this is just to hang out with Jesus, just to be there for him, just to be that Mary pouring the oil upon his feet. I actually talked with Mike Bickle at the call. I said, "Mike, what do you think about these things? You know, we're doing these things. Should we mix in prayer? Should we get a prayer leader?" And Mike's like, "No way, man." He's like, "If God told you to worship, just worship, and the people will pray themselves in there." You know, so that is the heart of it. Like I said, harp and bowl goes hand in hand, you know, to where worship is the harp, prayer is the incense. They can't go without each other. So obviously people will be, you know, praying by themselves. And as God leads, maybe, you know, the pastor or myself or Rick may get up and, you know, be led prophetically to, you know, "Guys, God is breathing on this issue right now. Let's press into this." But this is merely to give the Lord an offering of love. That's the whole point of it.
And I think there's a freedom for each worship team to allow the expression of God, the DNA that's been given that team to express themselves and camp around the presence of God. I believe that's really a key thing that we need to realize. So
that's true too. You know, the reason how come we give 2-hour sets is because, like I said, I'm all for set lists. They have a time and a place. That's fine, but you can't sing every hit worship song, you know, every 2 hours. Like, it just encourages you and your team to step out into that Davidic unction, to that prophetic spirit that cracks cities open, that cracks regions open. And so, yeah. You know, we encourage, yeah, have an idea of the songs you want to do, but take full liberty to fly off of those things and to soar up into that prophetic realm, you know, that literally releases wind, rain, fire, you know, that spirit of Elijah that calls those elements out of heaven. So that's kind of the heart of the two-hour thing. We want to encourage that prophetic worship, encourage that spontaneity. Again, Psalm 22:3, you know, the Lord is enthroned in the spontaneous eruption praises of his people.
Okay, everybody, I think we got the idea here. And as Ray Hughes said, the fire, the wind, and the water have all the same sound when they're in high intensity. And he said the Lord is calling those who are made of the dust of the ground, the earth, to praise him. And that it'll be that sound. So, Rick, what we'll do is we got this recorded, everybody. We'll get the link out to you. And we do have a plan. We need a location, location, location. I need the Detroit area people to search this out, check this out for us. And, again, I hate cutting off people here, but I'm trying to be sensitive. Is there any last comment or last question you might have? Because there's somebody out there maybe who's burning with something. If you have to leave the call, go ahead. But is there anybody else who's got a last comment or a burning question?
Yeah, Rick.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Hello.
Go ahead. Question is there a possibility of having a venue that would not be a church?
Yeah, usually we've always done them in churches. I'm open to the idea, but the way that keeps costs down is usually churches have the facility, they have the sound system, they have the rooms that people can meet in. So if we could find a facility that maybe is not a church, but, you know, I'd be open to that. But then that leaves the question of renting a sound system, renting, you know, a lighting system. Not that we're trying to do it big and flashy, but, you know, obviously you have to have a sound system, you know, if you're gathering a few thousand people. So that's why we lean more towards a church. But I'm open to any ideas or any suggestions.
Okay, good question. Anybody else? Okay, last call. Any other questions? Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
How does our worship teams become involved? I'm new to the call, I'm sorry.
Say that again, please.
How does our worship teams at our churches become involved?
Well, what we'll do is we will basically, all who would, want to participate, will give their information to our sister who just gave out her information. Maybe before we end here, I think Ashley, right? Maybe if you can
Give
her information
one
more time. If you feel interested or would like to help or anything like that, pass your information on to her. And what we'll do is we'll have kind of a pot of different names and teams and leaders that, you know, a month out or whatever it is, we'll put together the list, you know. And here's the thing, too. Let me say this. If you're willing to participate, it means that you're not just willing to take, you know, a prime time slot. It also means you're willing to burn before the presence of God at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. You know, so if you when you put your name on that list, say, hey, we want to be a part, you also need to be open to priesting before the Lord, you know, in the night watch as well. So, you know, just keep that in mind as well.
That's good. Okay, well, I really do believe we need to cut down the call. Ashley, again, your number is 734-476-3384. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so give Ashley a call if you're interested in being part, 734-476-3384. We will definitely get this call out to everybody, and I see people are having to leave the call now. And so, Rick, thank you for being with us. And we're going to take the next step here, and I'll be in contact with you in the next week here about that May weekend, that preliminary meeting, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, God bless you, everybody. We are officially ending the call.
Bye-bye.